31. If it feels like it's a little too tight for you, just a reminder that we do have the balcony on this side is open. You go up those stairs or those stairs through there. I know sometimes it gets, when we get a bigger crowd, we just, people want to be more separated. If you want to go up there, you can. Are our singers tired or what? Y'all did good this morning. Appreciate that. Yeah, y'all energetic and everything. Good. Well, this is our vision day. So this is our vision day. We have it once a year. It's always in January. It's where we, I spend some time in prayer over that and work through that and talk with some leaders and work out what we're, what we're going to pray and fast for. Our fasting starts tomorrow night, as I'll remind you again, but it starts tomorrow night at 6 p.m. and is over at Wednesday at 6 p.m. So tomorrow night, I'm not going to eat until Wednesday after 6. Well, it'll be after our service on Wednesday night. And then tomorrow also we begin 20 days of prayer. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I don't normally do it this way, but I wanted to make sure that these were not put into the bulletin because some of you, Phil, some of you don't pick up a bulletin. So I'm going to pass those around. So those are going to be the things that we're going to be praying for over these 20 days. So basically, you'll be praying for these 20 things, these 10 things. I'll go over these here a little bit later. But this is our theme for 2022 is to love more, to love better, and love like Jesus. And we should have got amen on that. Because we all need to love more. Listen, love the sinner. We don't love the sin, but we love the sinner. Right? Love the saint. We're to love more. And I think the theme is right because y'all didn't get excited because it is love more, love better, and love like Jesus. I still don't think you're with me this morning. Y'all paying attention this morning? I hope y'all are with me this morning. Love is a priority to God. I want to tell you, love is a priority to God. In Matthew chapter 22, if you want to go there for a minute, we're going to go there. As I said, this is our vision day, and I want to remind you that the things that we prayed for and fasted over the years, God has been amazing. And I'll cover a couple of those in just a short bit. But some people, the Pharisees and Sadducees, wanted to question Jesus about a few things, and I want to pick it up here. In verse 35, and one of them, an expert in the law, asked the question to test him, "Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest?" In verse 37, he said to them, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind." And this is the second this is the greatest and most important command. And the second is like it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. That we are to love our neighbor as ourself. It is important that we learn how to love God. You don't have to go there, but Deuteronomy, I wanted to even to write down from Deuteronomy from many, many, many years before this. Deuteronomy 10 says this, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you except fear the Lord your God by walking in all his ways to love him and to worship the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." We are to love God. I will tell you this, we will never love God as much as he loves us. And we're thankful that God loves us, amen? We're thankful that God loves us. We also know that we're not just to love God, but the second command, that we love one another as ourselves. We live in a time today where love is hard to find. Well, people will love, but they'll love those who look like them. They'll love people who agree with them. They'll love with this group of people. They'll love the people that they're a part of, but not to love everyone. Well, we are called to love everyone. We are called to love everyone. Even people that don't look like us, people that don't talk our language, we're called to love people because we are to represent Jesus Christ. We have one life to live, folks. One life to live. You got one trip around the track. Make it count. Follow Christ. Let Christ lead your life. In 1 Corinthians, it is called the love chapter of 13. It's used in a lot of weddings. I use it in a lot of weddings. But it is a big piece on love. I'm going to read a few of those scriptures today. Sometimes when I think I'm loving, and I think I got it, the Holy Spirit says, we're just beginning. We're not as far into love as we think that we are. Sometimes we do get confused when someone says to love, we're supposed to love the sin. We're not supposed to love the sin. We're supposed to love people. We love the sinner. 1 Corinthians 13, 1, he says this, Paul writes, if I speak speak human or angelic languages but do not have love, I am a sounding gong or a clinging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I donate all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body in order to boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and love is kind. Love does not envy. It's not boastful. It's not conceited. It does not act improperly. It's not selfish. It's not provoked. And does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth, and it bears all things and believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. In verse 13, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Folks, we need to love more. We need to love better. And we need to love like Jesus. Now we know that we have ministries and we have things going on in our church, and we go through every year, we go through a time of prayer and a time of fasting. There's been times we've done a 21-day Daniel fast. There's been times we've done a 5-full-day fast. Those are tough. There's times we did 4-day fast. There's times we did 2-3-day fast. There's times, I think last year we did every Monday. Actually, I think it's what we did. We fasted every Monday in January. And we would pray through that. And then in the summertime in August, we would do a reminder day of fasting and prayer fasting, reminding us to stay on track of what we prayed and fasted for in January. And this year, as I said, we are doing it from tomorrow night at 6 p.m. through Wednesday, 6 p.m. What do you do during that time? One, we begin to pray. We begin to focus and fast and think about those things that God has put upon our heart. Asking one of those things I want to ask you is to make sure that you're asking and keeping this theme in your head for the rest of the year. Lord, how can I love more? Show me how I can love better. Show me how I can love more like you. Because if the world doesn't see love through the church, it sees no love at all. If there's anybody that is supposed to love beyond themselves, it is a person who has a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is the children of God. We are called to love. And Paul writes it in here, even if we give it all to the poor, even if we do that, and we don't love, it's nothing. So let's remind ourselves, it's not what we do, but it's that power behind it and the purposes that we're doing it because God's called us to, that we're to love and let that love flow through. I believe he mentions it in this chapter. He mentions love. In my version, he mentions love like 10 times. I think that's why they call it the love chapter. Like 10 times. Your version had maybe one or less or one more, but love is the theme. I think that's the theme of salvation. I think it's the theme why Jesus came. For God so loved the world. should be the theme of why we do what we do here. As Deuteronomy says, we are to love the Lord. Matthew says we are to love the Lord with all the heart, mind, and soul. We're to do that. But Jesus says the second command is to love your neighbor as yourself. God has called us to do a great challenge here. God has called us to do. You know my opinion is that if God gives you something to do, he calls you to do something, it has to be bigger than yourself. So that you would lean on God and not on your own power and your own strength. And that's what we do here. We have to do that. We have to lean on the Lord here on what we are called to do. We are called to continue to do our meal ministry, our soup kitchen that is open up every day. But we need to love through it. We need to continue to love through it. We have our Women's Life House, what we use to help women in transition in life and sharing the gospel and help them in phases in their life and stages to go to their next place and transition through it, hopefully picking up a strength in Christ for some salvation, some to become back home with God. They were prodigals or whatever it may be. We are called to stand in the gap and to love there. To love. 2018, we had a great, we started a time of prayer and fasting. In 2018, we asked God that we were going through a really struggling time here. And we asked God not to give us a visitor for 6 months. We did not have a visitor for 6 months. And I came out and I asked you in a Sunday morning, I said, are we ready to receive visitors? And someone said, I believe we are, Pastor. And someone else said, yes. So we were in agreement the very next Sunday. We had a visitor. Because we needed to work on our own spiritual strength, our own spiritual self. The next year we asked God that we needed something. We needed something. We asked God in 2019, we asked God, we prayed and we fasted. People don't believe prayer and fasting works. Let me tell you, prayer and fasting works. But every time you fast, you don't get what you think is a drawing to God, separating that hunger needs for spiritual need, setting that aside. You're putting something important in front of you. In 2019, we prayed and we fasted that God would give us three couples into this church and someone to help with discipleship. And then in that, the very next month, we lost a couple. So we were three minus one. Oh, now we're in the hole. We need three and we're in the hole one, so we need four. Well, that year, God gave us all of those. And the very last couple was also the one that helped us with discipleship. God answers prayer and fasting. This previous year, we prayed and fasted. We'll skip 2020, but this year, we prayed and fasted because I can talk about all the answers that God has done. It's amazing. Can go back to 2017. But there are some things that we prayed and fasted for. One of those things we prayed and fasted for was that God would give us the finances that we needed to obtain and keep the ministries going. This church average attendance in 2020 was 65, and this year it is 2021 is 68. We asked God to give us finances that we needed to obtain and keep working the ministries. God answered that in a way that was just amazing. Because this church cannot afford to do what God has called it to do on the finances here alone. But there is no one provider on the face of the earth in human form, but only God is our provider financially. No one can outgive God. And God owns everything. Remember that. God owns everything. But there is something, I want to begin to go through these 10 here, but there is one that we have not obtained yet, but sometimes things take longer than a year. We prayed and fasted that God would give us 21 baptisms. And when we began that year, last year, and writing names on a board, that black board over there, We began to put names up there that we would be praying for, that we want to see to come to salvation and baptism. We began to work that board. We had a great beginning. And then we just didn't have, the flow wasn't working. And we ended up doing 9 baptisms, and that was great. 9 baptisms, that's great. I went back and looked. We haven't had 9 baptisms in 1 year for quite a while. So on these 20 days of prayer and fasting, what we have in number 1 on your paper there, it says that God will give us 16 baptisms. So what we've done is I just didn't want to finish the 25. So each one, every time someone gets baptized, they get an opportunity. They get up here the next Sunday, the next time we're here. They go up and they turn one of those bulbs. Now, that's not the original set. I broke it during decorating the church. So this is the second set. So the ones, they were scattered. So whoever turned them all in a row. They were not in a row. I know they weren't. So somebody's going to ask me that later. But I was taking some reef down and I broke them. So anyway, that's the second set. So there are 25 light bulbs on that strand. We're asking for 16 from God this year. The 16 will give us all those bulbs. So we need 16, plus our 9 last year will give us 25. Now this is what I know. God is the one that gives baptisms. But you don't catch fish unless you go fishing. Jesus told Peter, I'll make you fisher of men. You have to go out. We're going to share a little bit about that as we go. So we're going to pray that God will give us the 16 baptisms and we'll glorify Him, not us, and we'll glorify Him. And lives to be changed, we're asking for that. So during these 20 days of prayer and these 3 days of fasting, I'm asking that you put that on your agenda. We put these together on this side of the paper that you can take them with you wherever you go. Put them on your refrigerator, in your room, whatever. If you want extra copies, we can give you extra copies. But we don't want you to forget those. Number 2, that God will bring us a director and a staff to open the men's life house. We are currently still working on the men's life house. It's the house right next door to the church. Our other 3 houses are right there on the opposite corner. God has given us 4 houses on this block. Amen. Seriously, amen. God has put us on the corner of brokenness, pain, suffering. He's calling us to help those who have a hard time helping themselves. It is a privilege to serve God. I want to remind you of that. It is a privilege to be a servant of God. The men's life house, we're asking that God, we're going to finish this. We're going to finish this thing. There's some things we have to finish on the house, but it's a lot better and closer than what it was 2 or 3 months ago. Even a year ago, but we have it. We need to pray that God will give us the director and the staff. I've had some people thought about it. Had some people look like they were going to take it. And then the last minute changed their mind. So we need to pray about this. As you all know, those have been with us for so long, this was the one that we wanted to open first. It's taken us 14 years to get to this. Is that right? 14, 15 years now. 16 years to get to this one. But it's in play now. It's in sight. We're going to pray that God will give us a director and the staff to open up the men's life house. Next one, it says that God will open up the community so that we might evangelize and be received, that the neighborhood walls might come down. We know that we've evangelized this community. Not as much in the last couple years, but we've evangelized this community. We need to get back to that. We are going to do 3 concerts and cookouts. We're going to do cookouts up here at the park. Gerald Slack. We're going to be praying between now and when we do this. I don't have the dates now, but we'll be putting up 6 or 7 canopies up there down at the bottom of Gerald Slack. We'll do some concerts. We'll bring in the grill, and we will do some cook out, and we will have music, and I will share the gospel there. And we will have a tent, a prayer tent, for whatever people need to be praying for. I don't want anybody over there that's life's not right. I want a team over there that is solid in their prayer life. They're not perfect, but they are they're trying to walk with Jesus and they want people to come to know the Lord. And I want them to be able to say, I'm loving more, I'm loving better, and I'm loving them like Jesus. I want you to know right now we are partnering with another church right now through this 20 days of prayer. They're also going through some fasting themselves. This is the one that we are partnering on together. They'll probably be a part of it. They've never done anything like this before, so they're probably going to come, be a part of that, and they may end up doing it over there, one of the parks over there by Edna. And if and when they do, I want to really bring it up so that we can go help support them as they're going to come over and support us. There's the partners, and we're going to allow to have tents, face painting, all that stuff, but we're going to love people. We're going to love on people. Getting people out of their homes. People are secluded in their homes these days. People are hiding behind the four walls. They're fearful. They're scared. Let me tell you, we need to get out there and we need to love them. And we need to lift up the name of Jesus in our music and in our worship and praying with them. I'm excited about that. I want to get back out there. But these walls have got to come down. The spiritual warfare, the darkness has got to come down. So we're going to pray about that. The fourth is that God will provide the finances for New Life Fellowship Church. That's us here at New Life Ministries. That's the ministries that we do. Our budget is close together. They are separate. Let me explain this real quick. Finances are separate. The ministries are here, but the church is the governing of the ministries. If we take the church up from governing of the ministries, it won't be long. I've seen this so many times that the ministries will start out great and Jesus will begin to drop off in conversations. We're doing this because Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit has told us to do it. So we're going to follow what he's told us to do. So here it is. Between the both of them, the church budget is only like 130 something. And the ministry budget is close to 350, something like that, 360, something like that. That's a budget. That's a big budget. That's a big budget. It's a $500,000 budget between the two. And believe me, I've had a few nights where I'm like, But even then, through some of the songs today, it's God's anyway. He called us to do something that was bigger than ourselves so that we would have to pray, that we would have that need to pray, that we would worship him, and when things would come to be, that he would get the glory. It's the way it's supposed to be. It's the way it was supposed to be. Faith and trusting in God on who he is. Letting God be God, letting the servants be the servants. Letting the church be the church, not the church isn't God. The money doesn't belong to the church. The money belongs to God. And we use it. Let me tell you something. People say, well, why do you need that budget? You know, we have people that are on payroll. We need to do those things. We need to take care of that. We need people here every day. But even when I talk to people about what we do in other programs and bigger entities of ours, they still think our budget is low. There's been times I've been criticized for it, but I just let it be what it is. There's been many times I put the ministries in front of the church, per se. Look at the ceiling. It needs to be fixed. Look at that. Look at the outside brick. It needs to be fixed. But then I think we're going to put food on the table at the soup kitchen. We're going to fix a wall over here. We're going to fix a plumbing issue over here. We're going to fix this over here. We got to get this over here. We got to get that over there. I think God has seen our sacrifice to continue to help people. And our heart's desire to love people, to love more, to love better, and to love like he does. And number five also deals with finances, that God will show and provide for the maintenance of this church. We have brick. We have one brick estimate, like $105,000 or $10,000, $15,000. And I've got also an estimate for the windows. The windows out here, they look beautiful from the inside, but they are warping, they are bending in. It's over 100 years old. They're beautiful. They're non-replaceable. These windows are non-replaceable. Just to do this side and that side, and the front, but not the back, $120,000, $119,000 is some change. That's bigger than what we have. And he even told me in the estimate that these prices are only good for 60 days. Because we know what's going on out there. I don't know. We need God to pray about it. I don't know what to do with that, but I know this. There are brick pieces falling off this building all the time. There's nothing to say that we won't work in here, walk in here Wednesday, that we might not find paint chips on the floor somewhere that fall off the ceiling. We put our money over the last 20 years into some of this building, and we still got to get the floor in the sanctuary done. We're going to do that. Because we made a promise, and we're a year off from that, and that is our goal to do after we do the men's house. We got to come back and finish this. And we have to take care of this house. But what we've done over the last many, many years since we've been here for like 10 years now, 11 years, is we put our finances into ministry. Because this is what I know. Beautiful buildings don't save anybody. They don't lead people to Christ. But when you start helping people where they are in a place of need and brokenness, then they begin to let you speak into their life. And a believer, a true believer, will speak the things of God into their life. And we've seen many baptisms. We've seen many salvations through the doors of ministry. But now we do have some physical issues with our building, so we need to look at that. So I want to pray about that. I don't have answers for that right now, except that we know we need to take care of this building. I don't know how to do it all financially, but I know this. God has called us to it. Let me just remind you, don't neglect the Old Testament. So many times God can make a famine one day and the very next day. They have more than enough. And that's the God we serve. So I want to ask you that you pray that God will show us how to provide and to fix this big monster castle church building that we have. This is a very big building. Number six, that God will direct and clarify the use and purposes of the old church building. We own the church across the street. We just had an offer on it yesterday. I didn't have a chance to tell anybody. They want to offer us like $33,000. No. But we're going to ask God to direct and clarify the use for that building. Had a lot of ideas, but just need to stay focused. What does God want from that old church building? We have it for a reason. And number seven, that God will touch our leaders to have a desire to grow in their places of service. This is not an angry piece or a piece to be hard or anything. It's just wherever you're serving, you need to know more and how to do it better today than you did 6 months ago. And when we get into June and July, you need to be better at what you do, what you're doing today. You need to be better 6 months from now than you are today. Like I said, you got one lap. You need to be better at the end of the race than you did at the beginning. So you need to figure out whether that's getting online and maybe hitting up some online conferences or some things like that. If you don't know where to go and look, I'll help you. But you need to be picking up a book. You need to be growing. You need to be figuring it out, because I'm telling you this, there's no one here that is that good of an expert in what you do. I'm doing it all the time. I'm leaving for a 4-day conference, 3-day conference here in a couple of weeks, because I need to grow as a leader. I need to grow as a pastor. I need to read books. But nothing trumps God's word. I want to remind you of that. But there are some things that I can learn. How to be more patient. How to be more understanding. How to be a better listener. Husbands, right? Where's y'all's humor today? Am I the only husband that said, honey, you need to learn? What did I just say? Oh, because my mind was wandering. So leaders, you need to figure out how to grow in your place. Take that seriously, because if not, I'm going to ask you later, because I'm going to really be pushing some of you. Number 8, that God will direct and clarify the use of the purpose of the newest house on 414 Byron Street. That is something that we weren't chasing. That's something that God put in front of us. Put a house right in front of us. They came to us right here. They came into this church building right here back in October. Would you want to buy this house? No, we can't afford it. Went back over and talked to them. The Holy Spirit just prompted. What would you go? Minimum, 65. If you don't buy it, we're going to sell it for 99. We just like what you do. I got bills to pay. I need to pay off the lien on the house. Okay. How long do we have? You got 3 weeks. I'm like, okay. I walked back across the parking lot of the church. I was like, Lord, this isn't going to work. He said, zip it. I came in the office, wrote down 7 names. The last name that I didn't expect anything, I shared it with that person in person. That person wrote a check for $25,000, made a phone call to Atlanta. Somebody told me. That person was on a plane flying to California. That person gave me a number. That person called me the next day. There was another $20,000. That house was paid for in 4 days. That's $65,000. God gave us that house. And it's the best shaped house we have. It is in great shape. We don't need any mission teams on that house. It is located right next door to the Women's Life House and its office. We have 3 houses in a row. One's on the corner, one on the left, one's on the right. And God strategically placed the men away from the ladies and the ladies away from the men separately. Strategically placed the meal ministry right downtown so everybody would see it. And we've had people in the past that wanted us to move. Hide us down the block. Hide us down the street. We checked into that. But the story that God gave us and how he gave us and how he was able to get the meal ministry is a God story. We don't want to change that. He puts us right down in the middle so that everybody can see it. Everything we have has been strategically placed by God. So we're praying right now. I'm praying, and we know that part of our vision is men, women, and children in the soup kitchen. And so, as I said before, the Women and Children's House has changed somewhat. We don't take women and children into the Women and Children's House like we did, but we do allow women who graduate from the Life House over to the Fresh Start House, and there they need visits. Their family or their children can come and visit them on the weekends, and that's how we're using it with children. But the other house we know is a part of the vision for children. Right now, this last week, a few weeks prior, you know that I've met with DCS, Children's Department, Child Services. Don't want to mess that up, Troy. But also yesterday, Thursday, I think I met with sex trafficking. I didn't call them. They called us. Wanted to see what would it look like if we was able to, could we maybe come in and partner with you and bring a teen in that has been exploited into sex trafficking. Instead of putting them in whites or putting them into youth bureau services where they just begin to learn more street smart, that we could put them in a safe home environment. So we begin that conversation. So we know, this is what I know. This house, we say, what is to clarify it? That's what we need. But we do see that God is bringing phone calls in about how is it going to work with children. The youth bureau services as well. So we need to continue to pray about what God is going to do with 414 Byron Street. Number 9, that God will help me to love more. I need to learn to love more, and I know that you probably do too. I need to learn to love more. And you may ask yourself, well, how can I know that? Let me ask you, who's the person that you don't like the most? Who is the person you call an enemy? Who is the person that you say that you just can't stand to be around? Well, your target would be, Lord, help me to love that person. Now, I want to remind you, sometimes people do bad things. And they do evil things to one another. Doesn't mean you have to be their best friend. Sometimes you have to love from a distance. Because when that person gets close to you, things get wrong. It's just not good. But you need to learn to love from a distance. And who knows how to help with that more than anyone? Jesus, the author of love, the author and the perfecter of our faith. So I think we should probably pray that we learn to love more and better and to love like Jesus. Because you can't do it without him. Amen? Number 10, pray for anything personal. This is where you put your peace in. Now, these don't have to be in any particular order, but there are 10 things. We also need to pray for ourselves. There's something in your life, and you may use that and say, you know, I'm not praying. My prayer for myself is this. I'm going to pray for my mother. Or I'm going to pray for my brother or my sister. I'm going to pray for my friend. I'm going to pray for a broken relationship in our family. I'm going to pray for an illness for a friend. I want them to get back to a healthy life, whatever it may be. This is where you put in what it is. And you can have two or three. But this is where you put your own self in. And I'm hoping that after the 20 days of prayer, that on the Sunday we come back, that I will give an opportunity for any of those prayers that were answered. And my prayer is, hopefully, well, let's just say this. I just hope that we get to hear a lot of testimonies about what God has done in those 20 days. Because prayer is serious. And prayer works. If I need something in my life, I pray about it. I'm not sure of something in my life, I pray about it. I got two decisions to make, I pray about it. If I got a road this way and a road that way, I'm going to pray about it. Now, this is what I know as a pastor for 20 years here. God has done amazing things since 2018 was a big turnaround for this church. It's a real focus. When we started seriously praying and adding that fasting in and getting really serious with it, we started off with not asking God for anything to give to us, but actually to take away visitors. God doesn't forget like we do. It's a humbling experience that really was. And to watch and see what God has done since 2018 and to begin to move around and as we begin to follow God and move into the directions he's called us to, what I've noticed is where he's brought us to today has only been a God thing. And I think he's challenging us, even with these big astronomical numbers of funding needed, and even going bold into saying, let's just not ask for 6 more baptisms, but let's add 10 to it. It's almost like the Lord is just saying, can you follow me a little further? But it's going to take some more faith. I got a place I want to take you to. See, the goal here isn't to get 200 people in this church. It's not the goal. The goal isn't to make the best parking lot and the cleanest church, and even though we should take care of God's house. It isn't to have the most wonderfulest children's ministry so that we can knock the ball out of the park and everybody's kids come to this church and we can say, yes, we've done it great. No. The goal is always do what did God tell you to do, and you follow that. It's being obedient to the Holy Spirit. And this is what God has called us to do. The church with ministries that help and lead people to him. That's simply what we've been called to do. With a lot of little additives that come with it. And he's challenging us with the greatest call to learn to love more. He's calling us to going to take faith to love a little better. And if you're going to be all in, you got to love like Jesus. Because we're getting ready to get men into the facility, or into the facility, the house next door, And part of the program is that they come to church. Now, I've seen a bucket. Oh, I've got to go to church. If your way was working, you wouldn't be here. So let's try. We've got a new plan. And this is part of the plan. If you don't like that, I understand that. There may be some other places that you can go. Church is a part of the program. So there's going to be some men that are going to come to worship with us. But it's not going to stop there. It's probably going to be in the future, a little trail of kids, teens, going to walk in with an attitude probably, 11, 12, 13, like you can't tell me what to do. Listen, with some kids, how they grow up, unfortunately, but we're going to learn to love them. And they're going to walk in. They're going to take a seat with whoever's on duty at that time, because we've got to be a little more tighter with the kids. They're going to be doing this number. They're going to be shaking their head. They're going to be falling asleep. But we hope in time that somebody might raise a hand and begin to give God praise. That one wants to come to know Christ. They're going to have questions. How can I love my daddy when my daddy walked out? How can I love my mom when she's in prison? How can I love my brother, what he did to me? How can I love my sister and what she allowed? See, just in the last 20 seconds of what I just said is what we hear on a regular basis. And you got to learn to look through that and look at them and not see the sins that they've done or the sins that's happened to them. But you got to learn to love them. Jesus, how can I help? Father, this is our vision service. It's always different than any other service of the year. But I thank you for our vision day each year. That we can put a theme out, that your spirit puts a theme out for us of what we're going to need to work through this next year, and this theme of loving more, loving better, loving like you. Lord, give us the strength and the courage and the desire to want it. Lord, there's going to be times when we're going to drop the ball. And we're going to stumble in it, and our flesh is going to come out. Lord, remind us that we're trying to work on it. Help us to get back up and keep loving. Father, there are those that are here today that hurt a lot. They might even think, how in the world can God do these things? Father, I pray that you just touch your heart and move and give them ears to hear and eyes to see and understanding mind and spirit, that they might believe that nothing is impossible with you. Father, as we take this moment of response, I pray that your spirit would just work in a way that only you can. We pray, Father, we accept this challenge today in Christ's name. Amen.